Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. Oh, we want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And I'm going to tell you what, you listen to me long enough, you listen to my guests long enough, and you'll just slip in. But guess what? Once you're in, you'll say, hey, this water is good. Well, look what I've been missing my whole life. My guest, Kathy Walters, I'm speaking to her by way of telephone, her home in Macon, Georgia. And Kathy had visitations to heaven. She's been involved in legitimate, real revivals. And she says the church is involved in replacement theology. And her definition of replacement theology is anything that keeps people from flowing in the Spirit. And one of the things that keeps people from flowing in the Spirit, Kathy, you were telling me, is false responsibility. Explain.
Yeah, okay. It goes with the qualifying spirit where people are made to feel they have to qualify to, you know, get all of their inheritance, which is the chariots and the visitations. But another thing that has been put on people, really, is what I call a spirit of false responsibility. And it is a real spirit because people feel it leave off of their back, actually. But what happens is, the church, generally speaking, has taught people to do good things and meet needs. But often when you know, you can do lots of good things and miss the God thing. You can do good things for years going around in a circle and miss the anointing for your life or miss even the call of God for your life. But false responsibility, it makes people feel responsible for things and people they can do nothing about. And see, it's, people have been taught to minister to need. And actually, if you look at Jesus, he never ministered to need. He ministered to the Father. He did three things, basically. He did what the Father told him to do. He went where the Father told him to go. He said what the Father told him to do, and that's all he ever did. As a byproduct, many needs were met, but he wasn't running around Jerusalem trying to meet needs. He was obeying the voice of the Father. And I can prove that really easy because do you remember when they came and told him Lazarus was dying?
Right, he waited.
Yeah, Lazarus was a good friend. I mean, he used to stay in his house, but he didn't do anything. And there must have been an element around him saying, well, I thought he's supposed to be his friend. Why doesn't he do something? That must have been there because that's human nature. But he, when the Father told him to go, he went. And what's the first thing he heard when he got there? If you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. You see, and then there's this little discussion. Well, I'm the resurrection and the life. Well, I know at the end, and people didn't understand, and I know at the end we're going to be raised in the last day. And so people didn't get it, but he did what the Father told him to do, and he said what the Father told him to say. When he went to the tomb eventually, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, I think if he hadn't said Lazarus, everyone would have got up. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And so he had to cut all through that mess they were in, you know, in the natural. And so really, if you have any ministry, which every one of us has a ministry, but see, if we run around just trying to meet needs without hearing from God.
So one is religious and the other is intimacy. That's the difference.
Yeah. Well, see, say you have a prophetic gift. Your responsibility is to offer what God gives you. That's it. You can't make anyone do anything. You can't make anyone receive anything. All you can do is offer what God gives you, and that is the end of your responsibility. And if you do any more than that, then you're getting over into a realm where you have no control over anything. And you take on all these burdens and all these responsibilities that weigh you down.
Well, you know, there's some books out on, it's from a psychological viewpoint, and it's called Boundaries. But from a spiritual viewpoint, you're saying the same thing. There are spiritual boundaries, and the boundaries are, I only do what I see my Heavenly Father doing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not easy for people because they've been taught for years to minister to need. you see a need and you're supposed to run and do something, which is not true. God might not want to use you. He might want to use someone else. He might not want to use anybody.
You know, I want you to provoke some of our people to jealousy. You sure did that with me. You told me that you do a lot of ministry in Ireland, and that's my wife's background, her heritage, and so and there were some believers that did some amazing things in Ireland. Tell me about that.
Well, I was telling you about the 6th century Celtic fathers of the faith. I mean, St. Patrick, for example, he was actually known as the man that raises dead people. People know about Patrick and they have green beer and shamrocks, you know.
But they don't talk too much about raising the dead.
No, Patrick was known as the man that raises dead people.
Did he raise a lot of people from the dead?
Yes, they raised all of them. I mean, you know, I talk about Patrick and Brendan and Cuthbert and Kyron. Kyron started the 24-hour prayer and praise at Bangor Monastery. Columba, I mean, those guys, they all raised the dead all the time. They won the loss with signs and wonders. And they had to demonstrate the power of God out there because the Druids were active out there also.
It's probably like Elijah and the prophets of Baal.
They had to confront the Druids all the time. But Patrick won Dublin to the Lord by raising the king's two children from the dead. The king of Dublin had actually rejected the gospel because he had his Druid wizards, and they were pretty powerful guys, you know, they could do stuff. And but in 1 week, the king's two children died. His little girl drowned in the River Liffey. His little boy died of a sickness. So somebody said to the king, did you know that Patrick, the man that raises dead people, is in the next village? So the king said, well, bring him here and see if he can do anything. So Patrick came over and they showed him the bodies of the two children because they were fixing to have a Druid funeral. And the king said, can you do anything? And Patrick said, yes, I can. But if I do, it will be in the name of Jesus. And if God does this for you, you have to serve my God. So the king said, okay, or whatever was the fifth, you know, century equivalent of okay. And Patrick raised the two children from the dead. And that afternoon, the whole of Dublin was baptized in the River Liffey.
Kathy, you know, I would be remiss before God if I didn't warn our mishpucha that there are many spirits in the world. But we don't want to throw the baby out with the dirty bathwater. By the same token, I want to put some caveats out in case it's an angel of darkness. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 gives us some direction. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh is of God. So the first thing that we're to do is, if it's a spirit communicating with us or an angel, we're to ask, did Jesus the Messiah come in the flesh? And if they do not answer yes, then you have nothing to do with them. The second thing that I've noticed is there is a sense of peace when it's an angel of God, and a sense of agitation in your spirit when it's not an angel of God. And the third is, whoever communicates with you must be consistent with the Word of God. So those three tests, if you will. Number one, you want to ask the question, did Jesus the Messiah come in the flesh? Number two, what do you feel in your spirit? Peace, lightness, or agitation? And number three, it must be consistent with the Word of God. Kathy, you've literally had visitations to heaven?
Yeah, but I think that's supposed to be normal. See, everything you receive in the Spirit, you receive by faith, right? So if you believe that this is the realm that you're supposed to live in, because it is, then things start to be manifested in your faith. The trouble is people feel, you know, they've been taking in all kinds of religious junk, really. So they have to get that out of their head. That's what I'm calling my replacement theology. Get that stuff out of your head, because guess what? God's not running around anywhere looking for, trying to recruit workers for the kingdom. He's looking for his sons and daughters to rise up.
How many times have you been to heaven?
Probably about 15.
And are many other people having visitations to heaven after they hear you teach?
Yeah, a lot of people go in the chariots of God. I mean, God sends chariots into the meetings. And
explain to me what happens when someone goes in a chariot. Tell me one real instance.
Okay, well, let me go back to my pastor friend in New Zealand. He felt the anointing come on him strong. I'd been teaching in the conference about the visitations and the things that were supposed to be normal. And he felt the anointing come on him strong, so I think he kind of fell over. Nobody was touching him, but he kind of half-crawled under the piano to get out of people's way. But he said two angels came and asked him if he'd like to go in a chariot. And there was a chariot there. So he said, yes. So they took him actually in the chariot to India. He was going low through some streets and he saw demons scattering. And God showed him, he has a heart for India. So God showed him where they went around India and they saw people praying and things. And they brought him back and said, would you like to go again? And that happened to him five times. He went to Israel. He was actually standing on the wall there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm talking to so many people, Kathy, that are having angelic visitations and that are having these supernatural encounters. You know what, Mishpucha? It is normal. And Kathy has written three books that we're making available. One is called The Visitation. It explains her experiences in heaven. And she believes that after you read this book, you're going to have faith to believe for your own visitation. The second book is Living in the Supernatural, things like visions and angelic visitations and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which was all normal. Absolutely normal in the first church, and you got to change your whole paradigm. And then the third book, perhaps the most important book that she's offering, The Spirit of False Judgment, and it's how to get free from religious spirits. But even more important than that is the first way you get free is to recognize them. And these religious spirits, they're insidious and they're all over religion. I mean, that's why they're called religious spirits. But it's time to be free. It's time to do the works of ministry. It's time to stop being a spectator and enter in, be a participant. For a donation of $20, all three books by Kathy Walters. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.